Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPW, Shir number 107. We're in the Sefer Shalva Ba'amon Yisayich. We're in the middle of chapter 2. And in Tehillim, it says, Moishav Yechidim Baisa, which Hashem means Hashem seats individuals in a home. That two unique people, separate individuals, join to build a home, which is you and your husband. Your home need not be, nor should it be, a carbon copy of your parents' home, or the home of your sister, or the home of your aunt, or your home of your friend, or home of your mentor. It needs to be your own unique home. And you're half of that equation of that home, and your partner, your husband, comes from a home with a different outlook on life, a different approach to building the home, and as a team, you create this new blend of a beautiful home in the way of the Torah, but in accordance to your own personalities, serving Hashem with your own gifts that you have, different from your parents, different from his parents, and to be flexible and work together towards this lifelong goal. This is called interdependence, where the individual matters, meaning you specifically, you the wife, you the woman, and he matters independently, but then as a unit, it works together. One thing important that they stress is to accept your husband inherently for who he is based on his characteristics. The key is like this. You know, sometimes it's like, I don't think my husband's the handy type. Okay, so he's not the handy type. Or, you know, you point out the shortcomings. The idea is to appreciate the temperament of the individual person. Just like Hashem is merciful, you're merciful. He, Hashem, loves every single person, every single Jew, according to their nature that Hashem gave to them. What Hashem expects from a person is not to be Moshe Rabbeinu or the greatest Gadol Hador or something like that, but rather the best that he or she can be, their capacity, not someone else's capacity. That's what Hashem wants. So that's what how Hashem views every person. That's why us, the wives, and wives to husbands to wives, wife looks at a husband and says, I want you to be the best you can be, not to be like somebody else, but to be your best self. The positive midos of a wife, an Eishes Chayil, is the word that the Meiri uses is to abandon the traits of your father. Again, I don't think it means literally. If your father had wonderful or has wonderful traits, and your parents have wonderful midos, doesn't mean you abandon those good midos. Adarabi, you embrace it and take the good from it. But what he means here is that you are open-minded to embrace those of your husband as well, and bring up the thoughts of directing your home according to your own unique blend of personality and who you are. We are the three midos, Baishanim, which means a certain type of modesty, bashful. Rachmanim means merciful. Gan lechasadim is kind. And we follow that path. Now, we talked about how Rachel remained silent when Lavan put Leah under the chuppah instead of her. Her son Binyamin remained silent, did not talk about Yosef being sold. That's why his stone in the Choshen was called Yashpe, which means Yeshpe, you have a mouth. He was able to talk, but he remained silent. Esther too hid her identity. Ein Esther Magedes es Ama. A certain type of a quietness and an acceptance, even if things are not always ideal. Now, of course, always a disclaimer. This excludes outright abuse. This also excludes when there's normal needs that need to be met. We talked about this in other shiurim. But overall, there are so many things where you know you could rise above and overlook and see the good points. And that's what one does for each other. And when they both do that, you live a beautiful life. The famous, well-known story that the Stipler Goyen, Rabbi Saul Kanievsky, the father of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, was inquiring about a shidduch for a grandchild, and Rav asked him, you know, what character traits must the bacher possess to be considered a suitable chassan? So the Stipler said, here, you need at least three midas, he said. Number one, hasmada, diligence in his learning. Number two, common sense. We'll talk about that soon. And number three, good midas. And the Rav was puzzled. So he said, if he's diligent and smart, won't he automatically have good midas taivais? And the Stipler answered, let me explain. You know, good student, good yeshiva bacher, learns in yeshiva for 6 years. Who's his chavrusa? Who's his companion? The shtender. The shtender is the little table that he puts a sefer on that he learns on. The shtender. So the bacher has excellent shalom bayis with his shtender. But the shtender never requests his assistants to take out the garbage or to go out to the grocery. All those years, the shtender never was stubborn, never was in a bad mood, never asked for a sympathetic ear, never asked for compassionate words, or asked you to have charming conversations. Suddenly the bacher marries, finds himself living with another person who's his wife, and now all these scenarios are possible. So he must be a Baal Midos, as his great Hasmada does not prepare him for all life situations. And what is a real Baal Midos? To work on themselves, to delve into Musar, to examine and re-examine your spiritual standing, and overcome your negative Midos. That's the kind of husband we are looking for. So this idea, aside from the natural goodness that everyone is born in, a lot of people have inherent good midos. They have to work on their midos. And they're the key to success. The Gra even says in one place, that's the tachlis of life. That's the whole purpose of life. And the more you apply to enhance your character, the more you will shine. And the dar v'dar yishabach ma'asecha, each dar improving on the next dar. And the better person you are, the better person your husband will be. You have a spiritual aliyah, your husband will have a spiritual aliyah. It is interesting that common sense is brought down here. That's like the derech eretz kadma l'tayra type of aspect that we need sorely, desperately in our generation and in every one of us, to develop that common sense and to work on our midos. In the Shalva Mistech brings a story, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but basically there's a whole story here about a girl from a top fine quality Torah home, but she went a little off and they expelled her from school, and then they wanted to reach out to her and she was ready to go off the derech pretty much completely. And she was really, really not receptive to hearing the words, and the mechaneches that wanted to bring her back was very broken by it. And she, for the last moment, she said, just remember, when you're leaving the Beis Yaakov and you're leaving today, a bacher is leaving yeshiva too. Now again, if literally this is accurate, I don't know, but just the concept of it is very interesting what affected this person. And stop, what do you mean by that? And explain that you and your future husband are one, and he's going to pursue you. So he, while you were aspiring for great spiritual heights, so was he. But now that you are on a downward spiral, your husband may fall from his heights also to find you. Now, whether that's accurately true or not true, this concept, I'm not getting into. That's not the point that I'm trying to convey. But what happened was, a few days later, she came back and was remorseful and asked, you know, acknowledged, I went on the wrong path. Please help me get back to where I need to be. But the key behind this is really that in this particular case, what moved this particular person was recognizing that her decision to go down that path was not just pertaining to herself. If it's pertaining to self, nunu, okay. But it's if it's affecting another person, her future zivig in this case, then there's great ramifications, and that held her back. Very often, we have inside ourselves that feeling, that to recognize deep in ourselves that we are not here just for ourselves, but for others. Could very well be, you know, your ability to build up your husband in a way that no one else can. Even though, you know, you're walking the same path together, but that concept is very important to recognize how much influence you have on your husband in building him and helping him. Then you have different situations he brings down. For example, gives an example here that Malki was raised in a Hasidish home. They followed a certain Rebbe, but Malki herself never felt that connection, didn't want to go in that direction. She was drawn to customs in her friend's home where they had a different Hasidus and yearned for that path. For real, it wasn't a fake thing. For real, she yearned for that path. And when she came for age for Shidduch, she found the Chassan. And the Chassan was the member of that Chassidus as well that she yearned to practice. This happens sometimes. This is why sometimes people are born in certain families and they're Litvish, they become Chassidish or vice versa. And people think that it's just a fad. Very often it's not a fad. It's a yearning. It's a true yearning. I've seen it. With the girls, I haven't seen it, but with certain boys in Yeshiva Bachram, I have seen this. I have seen this. I know about it both ways, where a Hasidish younger man ends up in a Litvish Yeshiva and vice versa sometimes, or at least in certain circles of connecting with them. And there's soul connections with this. The idea being, again, that also, you know, people will realize when they take in son-in-laws, when they take in daughter-in-laws, in this case, let's say Chassanim, there were three Chassanim that came into their family for their three daughters, each one different, each one with their own unique special character appropriate for that particular daughter, meaning not a cookie cutter. And that is the idea. It's a healthy access of practice when you're dealing with chinuch overall, and raising children and teenagers, and as they grow up to become adults, to recognize that there's no such thing as cookie cutters. You're not cut from the same mold. And sometimes very brothers and sisters can be vastly different from one another, with separate tchunais to work through and to appreciate. One last point I want to add to this year, which is the last sentence in chapter 2 of the book Shalva Bama Nesayach. I'll just quote it. He writes here, you are not a solitary individual. As a married woman, your responsibility is for two. Every effort, every submission, every prayer yields a double profit for you and for your husband. That's very, very true. I heard, basically, it's like this. When you daven for Shalom Bayis or anything like that in your marriage, don't just daven for yourself, your well-being in this marriage. Your own. You could, of course, do that too. But you ask for the unit of the marriage, the oneness of the marriage. The two of you together as one, daven for that higher calling, that the Shekhinah should come down and be Shaira here with the Shalom and Ahava and Achva. Bracha v'atzlacha.